Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. And here is your host, Ryan Mack.
Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. Now, we all very well know that the pandemic has created quite a bit of inertia for people and organizations to go more digital when it comes to payments. So then that brings the question of where did the momentum translate into the payments industry? Or what payments ecosystem players saw an increased usage because of the pandemic? Well, one that we have been tracking is, without a doubt, ACH and, well, same-day ACH. So to talk about the state of ACH, the growth, and where ACH goes next, I have Mike Hurd, who is not just Senior Vice President of their ACH Network Administration, and Sarah Grotta, who is Mercator Advisor Group's Director of their Debit and Alternative Products Advisory Service. So there's certainly a lot of data and information to unpack on today's episode, so without any further delays, let's start the show.
So Mike and Sarah, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on today's episode where we're going to be taking a look at ACH. Now, I want to start off today's conversation with you, Mike, because obviously it's always a pleasure having you on the podcast. And particularly now, because ACH has been having some really fantastic growth over the past couple of years. So to start off our conversation, you know, let's go there a little bit. Maybe you could perhaps give us a little bit of a state of the union for ACH.
Sure, Ryan. I'd be happy to. And thanks for having me on the podcast again. It's always a pleasure. The ACH state is very, very strong right now. We're having quite a moment, maybe comparable to about 15 years ago when, the industry wanted to figure out how to process checks electronically. I think we're in a phase where, the events of the last year and a half and the impact it's had on the ways that entities conduct their businesses has really strongly pushed payments to be all electronic, all digital. And it's really, really pushing the ACH network to new heights. You know, we announced a record year in 2020 in terms of volume and volume growth on the ACH network. But then our first quarter of 2021 exceeded any quarter in 2020 in terms of volume growth. So we started the year very, very strongly. Volume growth in the first quarter was up over 11% year over year. When we dig in and look at a few areas, business to business really stands out. We're looking at about a 20% growth year over year in business to business volume moving on the ACH network. And I think we've probably talked about this before, but I think it's worth covering again that B2B has always been an area of growth, but maybe not one of, sort of a hockey stick type of growth curve, which now we're seeing. The ability to get small and medium sized enterprises to use electronic payments for accounts receivable, accounts payable, and even in the payroll payments and other types of payments has really, really been given a push by what's been going on in the country and in the economy over the last year and a half. And we've seen service providers, come out and support those entities and really push adoption, down to even the smallest businesses. So there have been some pretty notable additions to the technology platforms and the service providers that have come out and say, we support the ability for businesses of all sizes to use ACH payments to send and receive. And then just the last area I'll call out is same day ACH. And the volume increase there year over year is 88%. So we thought we had a strong growth rate before, but this year so far it's double of what last year's was. And there's probably a lot that goes into that, but again, I think where we're heading as an economy and where we're heading as a payment system is really driving users to look for that kind of functionality and to really start adopting.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting because, when anyone says that they're having a really good first quarter in 2021 over 2020, I always have to immediately go back and look at what happened in Q1 of 2020, because a lot of organizations didn't have such a great Q1 2020, given the impact of the pandemic. But Nacha actually had a really pretty good Q1 2020. So I think when we're talking about You know, the growth that you mentioned in the first quarter of this year, that really does speak, in fact, to the growing digitization of payments. And to your point, you know, the more that the growth that you see within business payments, you know, suggests to me we've got a couple things going on. I think a really good, strong, continued replacement of checks. And then I think maybe even some new use cases that have popped up.
Sarah, I think that's right. And, you know, just thinking back to a year ago, you know, there was some uncertainty right in that time period of March and April last year. So I guess at the end of the first quarter and at the start of the second quarter. And, you know, at that point in time, we really did have a lot of uncertainty about what the immediate quarter was going to be like and also what the year was going to be like. And so I guess it's kind of a lesson in humility to be, you know, it was very unpredictable. And but we were well positioned and well prepared, you know, those that provide the services for electronic payments were as well, and we had a good result as a result of that.
Yeah, I certainly think that's absolutely fantastic news there, Mike. And one of the areas that I really want to call out in particular here is obviously that the same day ACH here, because the last time that you were on the episode, we kind of briefly talked about the window extension that's going to be going on or happening with same day ACH. So perhaps maybe we could dive into that a little bit more now, and perhaps maybe you could tell us, you know, what this window extension is, and then also maybe from a 101 perspective of why it's important in the industry to have that window extension.
Sure, Ryan. So the extension that you referenced went into effect. It's live now. So it went into effect in March earlier this year. And our system operators, our ACH operators, effectively extended the hours that same-day ACH is available during the course of a business day. So that change is live and was very successful going into effect. We have some anecdotal evidence from the field that it's being used and was, you know, even used on the very first day that it was available. So I think it's going to, you know, have a significant impact over the long run. To your, you know, question about the 101, why is it important? I mean, it really goes to having the same day ACH capability available for the full business day across all the time zones, at least of the continental US. You know, in the Western time zone, the same day capability closes out the day just a little bit before the end of the business day. But, you know, across the country generally, we now have same day ACH available to be used pretty much throughout the entirety of the business day. So that's really, really the reason why it's significant. And if you think about, you know, businesses that are, you know, making payroll payments, paying invoices, collecting bills, you know, the ability to be able to use same day ACH for a greater period of time of your business day, you know, could be the difference between, you know, your decision to use it at all or not to use it.
You know, one question I had for you regarding same day ACH is, if you have a view on how originating financial institutions or maybe even third parties are using this, you know, to monetize some of their services. You know, I'm sure that, you know, you can't disclose individuals' pricing schemes, but if you have any ideas or can share, you know, some strategies in general that some organizations have been utilizing to actually use this value-added service to generate revenue.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things I'd call out in terms of generalities. I think one is for financial institutions who are already ACH ODFIs, that, you know, what are your customers using ACH for? And, you know, do they have strong use cases for faster ACH? That's usually almost always the first place to start. So if you're, I mean, virtually every organization has to make payroll payments. And so they're doing that through someone, some way, somehow. So if you have a customer that's doing it, would they benefit from having the ability to make faster payroll payments? I think the other one we know of from the start of this whole journey is that customers everywhere have emergencies, have system glitches, or simply miss deadlines. And so the ability to offer a customer a way to recover or correct that, where, you know, in the past they would just maybe have had to have suffered the consequences, is a type of value add that a financial institution can provide a customer. But then I think the other area is more of the, you know, kind of the forward looking, which is, you know, how can a financial institution think more about embedding payments? And with ACH, it's embedding the ability to draw money from or pay out money to a bank account that's really embedded into a service or a platform where, you know, the customers aren't even really thinking about, you know, like generating a file and what time do I have to do it by. It's really more just embedded into the way that the commercial platform or service works. And I think that has to do with a lot of the growth we're seeing in various forms in ACH, whether it's use of ACH online as represented by our web transaction, which is, I probably should have called it out earlier, it's been growing by, you know, 12 to 15% of the per year. And also on the payout side, which is just another form of a direct deposit to somebody's account, but coming out of a digital wallet type service or an e-commerce platform or any other way that a platform or a service is enabling someone to withdraw money out that results in a deposit to an account. And it's really just embedded and built in, and they don't have to think about when that happens and how that happens. Those are the kinds of, I think, forward-looking value-added services that are monetizable, that you know, the marketplace is willing to adopt and seems to bear out that there is a price to pay for that type of functionality.
Yeah, Mike, no, certainly. Thank you very much for that. Because I think, you know, a lot of our listeners in particular, you know, they're always kind of looking at the, okay, yes, if I'm going to adopt this, then therefore, what is the ROI or what does the roadmap look like for ROI on this? And particularly, maybe what are some of the use cases that are being applied to? And I want to get to that use cases part of it in a little bit. But the last time that we spoke about the window extension, that was not really the only thing that we talked about. You also brought up kind of a little nugget there that there was going to be a per payment limit increase for same day ACH. So maybe you can kind of give us a little bit more information this time in terms of that per payment limit increase and maybe what it's going to be and when we might be able to see it.
Sure. Yeah, I think last time we spoke, we may have talked about that we were contemplating or socializing another increase to the same day ACH dollar limit. That has happened. It's been approved. So effective in March of 2022, so 9 months from now, the same day ACH dollar limit will be increased to $1 million per payment. And, you know, that's the dollar limit increases, I'd say, generally are have kind of always been at the forefront or top of mind to particularly business users of the ACH. It's an enhancement that they've been asking for, and they always appreciate seeing it. I think there's always new use cases or volume generated from those going into effect. For this one in particular, you know, we think about things like higher value business-to-business payments, which could also include things like, you know, tax payments. And it could include insurance payouts, you know, claim payment payouts to either a business or a consumer. And I think, you know, you could see that a lot of those would probably be above the prior or the existing limit we have in place now, which is $100,000 per same day transaction. And, you know, other types of uses like, you know, paying out, you know, the proceeds of a loan disbursement, or on the payroll side, payroll providers often collect funding for payrolls through an ACH debit to be able to do that with a same day debit up to the $1 million limit is a new use case for payroll providers. So it is going to into effect. I think it's going to have a positive impact on the users coming up with ways to make better use of the same day ACH capability. And, you know, just looking at what happened last year when our prior limit went into effect, it had almost an immediate impact on the use of same-day ACH. We saw the average dollar amount of a same-day ACH payment increase by 40% in just 2 months, in those 2 months surrounding when the new limit went live. And so I would certainly expect something similar to happen next March when this next increase goes live.
Yeah, and I think that that's important to call out because, you know, as we started off today's conversation, Mike, obviously you kind of called out B2B payments in terms of just ACH overall and kind of seeing the growth there. So obviously kind of based upon the information that you're providing us here, you know, it would be safe to assume then that come in those that 9 month stretch that we would see another kind of boost, especially on the same day ACH side, especially on the value side of it with that limit increase being there. And certainly also kind of thank you for walking us through some of the use case examples of there of like, hey, here are the reasons why it is that, you know, we kind of had from our organization kind of the push for that limit increase there. Because I think that's some really good insight to kind of understand of, okay, well, why go the next step to the million here? But then I've got to ask, so now that we've kind of unpacked like a little bit of the state of the union and kind of taking a look back at some of the data and a little bit of kind of what's next in terms of the same day ACH limit increasing, I've got to ask, you know, we're looking at, you know, 2020 obviously was a wild year. In 2021, seems that from a pandemic standpoint that things are kind of starting to normalize, but I don't think that the payments industry has quite really reached a full like new normal, so to speak. So Mike, what do you see on the horizon, particularly as it relates to ACH and NACHA?
Well, it's a good question. And it's hard to know, you know, what, the new normal will look like, whether it's, you know, the world at large or what the payment system's new normal will look like, and how will we recognize it when we get there? If someone has the answer to that, I'm all ears. But, you know, I think as 2021 progresses, we are going to see sort of the phasing out of the large scale government assistance that has resulted in a large volume of payments. Many which use the ACH. So think about the economic impact payments that have happened over three rounds and the all the extensions of unemployment compensation that have happened. I think the one area we have left are the advanced child tax credit payments that the IRS will start issuing in July. And they'll do so in a series of six monthly recurring payments throughout the rest of 2021. So that will certainly continue to generate assistance dollars flowing through the ACH network primarily. But, you know, other than those types of payments, you know, we look at the economic activity starting to recover and rebound. And that makes you think about, you know, payments that are reflective of that underlying economic activity. So as you know, businesses, especially small businesses and hospitality industry, you know, staffs back up, that results in more payroll payments. And as, you know, the B2B sector, you know, continues to recover and grow, that results in more supplier type payments. And as consumers are spending again, you know, that results in more consumer bill payments. So underlying economic growth, you know, generally does result in payment system growth. And to the ACH network in particular, we tend to grow at, you know, sort of the GDP plus some kind of multiple, like, you know, 2 to 3 times. So, and then given what we've already talked about with, you know, the underlying digitization that's happening, you know, I think we're going to, you know, get through 2021, you know, with a very, very strong year again, if not another record year. But I think there's other areas that we're still seeing, you know, signals for ongoing adoption and stronger ACH usage. I'll call out areas like nonprofits using ACH as a method for sustaining donors to contribute monthly to their, you know, favorite causes and charities. And there's an inherent need and a willingness in those types of sustaining donor relationships to have those be evergreen and not expire, and to minimize the costs that are incurred by the nonprofits. So that's a, you know, kind of a sweet spot for how ACH is traditionally used. And then to the, you know, the changes in the economy, you know, we've talked about the digitization. We really haven't touched on, you know, subscription models for services and products, you know, just, you know, kind of beyond your newspaper and magazine subscriptions from 20 years ago, you know, just about everything now can be packaged and sold on a subscription basis, which results in a stream of recurring payments over a long period of time. And again, that's a fairly, you know, sweet spot for ACH. And then the third thing I'll call out, and I'll kind of relate it to a personal anecdote, that my wife and I went out to an outlet mall for the first time yesterday, for the first time in about, 15, 16 months. And not only was it packed, but at virtually every checkout counter were all of the service providers for, you know, a buy now, pay later, you know, payment arrangement model. And so that is really kind of a twist on commerce that has is becoming predominant, whether by usage or just, you know, what you see at the checkout. And we, you know, we think there's some applicability for ACH there as well, for, you know, those service providers to, you know, having fronted for the purchase to collect from the purchaser on a recurring longer term basis and needing to use an ACH debit to do so. We think there's a strong model there for ACH to have a role to play. So, you know, even in addition to the various things we talked about, as economic and processing models continue to shift and evolve, we think there's some very strong use cases for ACH that are still going to emerge. And then the last thing I'd just like to call out is that, you know, and again, this kind of goes with the digitization theme, is the ability to exchange payment-related information on a straight-through processing basis. And, you know, that's the role we see for our Fixius payment information exchange platform, which is live and is onboarding adopters. And it has use cases for things like data validation, onboarding for trading partner and supplier relationships, and remittance information specifications. And those are all kinds of things that support, you know, a wholesome and straight through processing type of, you know, digital commerce and digital payments environment. So we think there's a lot of potential there as well, both throughout the balance of 2021 and certainly for you know, the longer term future.
Excellent. Well, it certainly sounds like there's a lot of fantastic things on the horizon there for ACH and Nacha as well. So Mike, Sarah, thank you so much for taking the time today for speaking to me about ACH, and I hope to have you both back on the podcast real soon.
Thank you very much, Ryan.
Thanks, Ryan.